Matthew chapter number 12. And we're going to continue to talk about the spirit of Antichrist. We'll review just a bit, but not much, because I want to get into some new material. How do I recognize the spirit of Antichrist? And this is Matthew chapter 12 is where you're heading. Any teachings that are anti-Bible or anti-Christ? Well, let's not forget that. Any teachings that are anti-Bible or anti-Christ? Jesus is the Word. Any movements that promote globalism and diminish nationalism is anti-Christ. I didn't spend a lot of time on that point. But, folks, this anti-patriotic sentiment is being orchestrated by Satan. It is part of, they don't want you to be loyal to your nation. They want you to be a child of the world, and it's all preparing us for a one world government. Number three, any attacks against local New Testament churches are anti-Christ. Hey, Jesus Christ died for the church. He spoke it into existence. It's his plan to reach the world. And folks, we're gonna see this increase. You think about, how the liberals and the perverts have made it so unacceptable for anyone to speak against certain sins. And they've succeeded at it. The media won't speak against it. Nobody else speak against it in the school system. No politician is going to speak against some. I mean, I'm talking about Republicans or Democrats will not get up and say, this is a sin, this is wickedness. Entertainment industry certainly not helping us. You think about it. Okay, let me ask you a question. Besides a handful of churches that are still preaching the Word of God, where is anyone in America speaking out against this wicked perversion that is, we just come off of a Pride Month, God help us. Where is any voice that's gotten up and said anything and pointed it out for what it really is? Well, the only voices that are left is the voices of the pulpits of a few Bible preaching churches that still have preachers and pastors willing to do it. Now, if they've eliminated every other voice except that, and I think they have, I'm not saying that maybe on an individual level Christians aren't trying to say some things, but I'm saying as far as an organization, what's left? Well, do you think that they're going to say, okay, well, good, at least we've got it down to one? Well, don't underestimate evil. They're not going to rest until they try to quiet every voice. And that's why you're going to see, I'm preparing our church, okay? That's why you're going to see a continued level of hostility against the local New Testament church. And so those attacks are going to continue. Anything that causes people to exchange individual soul liberty for government control is antichrist. Oh, any person who ridicules those who believe in God and believe in the Bible, they are spirits of Antichrist. Perilous times, folks. Prepare yourself. Perilous times. The spirit of Antichrist, I wrote this down, thrives in the incubator of perilous times. Morals must be weakened. Standards must be lowered. Good must become evil. Sin must be normalized, then accepted, then defended, then championed. In order for that to happen, good must be vilified, then persecuted, then outlawed, then exterminated. Right now, reading another book on the Holocaust, and I do that at least once a year, and folks, it better be a reminder. It better be a reminder of what evil is willing to do to get its way. How do you weaken a nation? How do you prepare a free people to accept slavery? How do you transform a moral nation into a nation of reprobates? How do you create perilous times so that the spirit of Antichrist can thrive in advance? Well, there's several spirits of Antichrist. We talked about the spirit of selfishness is the spirit of Antichrist. We talked about the spirit of compromise is the spirit of Antichrist. Now let's go into new things. Now Matthew chapter 12. Let me get there. I'm going to take you on a little bit of a Bible drill. Matthew chapter 12. So let's look into the Bible a little bit. In verse number 43 of Matthew chapter 12, I want you to notice something we're going to repeat over and over that was very prominent when Christ came the first time. And Matthew chapter 12, verse number 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, one of the things that I notice is just reoccurring in the times of Christ is the presence of what the Bible identifies as an unclean spirit. Go to Mark chapter number 1. Look at this several places in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 23. Mark 1, 23. Notice where we find this unclean spirit in this story. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. The spirit of uncleanness is the spirit of Antichrist. Look at verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. So folks, there is a spirit. This is a spirit. I believe it's a demonic spirit. And I believe that this unclean spirit you're going to see in the Bible is taking complete control of people. We're going to see how that happens and why that happens. Chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, if you will, look at verse number 30. Mark chapter 3, verse number 30. Verse number 30 says, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Interesting, they accused Jesus Christ of having an unclean spirit, and he warned them against the unpardonable sin. And so we see that. So it's interesting, people with an unclean spirit are accusing Jesus Christ of having an unclean spirit. You know, let me just teach you a little thing about people and human nature. You know who's usually the one always accusing everybody of being a liar? A liar. You know people, the person that's always accusing people of being a pervert? A pervert. You know, if you keep hearing the same thing coming out of a person on a regular basis, what people do, come on, human nature is the best way for you not to identify my besetting sin is to spend my time deflecting that onto other people. And so that's what they were doing to Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse number 2 of Mark 5:2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met with him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And look at verse number 8. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And then we'll look at chapter 7, verse number 25. Mark chapter 7, verse number 25. We'll look at a few more of these. For its Bible says, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Preacher, what does this even mean? We're going to get to that. Luke chapter 8, verse number 29. Look at there. Chapter 8, verse number 29. Let's see, Maren. I tell you Luke, right? Luke chapter 8. Very good. I went to Mark. That's my problem. Verse number 29. The Bible says in Luke 8, 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Listen to what this unclean spirit was doing. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Luke chapter 9, verse number 42. Luke chapter 9, verse number 42. Boy, if you see this continually being mentioned as Christ came the first time, don't you think there's a good chance this same type of a spirit is going to be present right before the rapture, the second coming of our Lord, chapter 9, verse 42. And he was yet a coming, and as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. The Lord rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And finally, one more, chapter 11, Luke chapter 11 and verse number 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm going to need your help this morning. We've spent a lot of time this year, Lord, exposing the devil and Lord, his demonic beings. We're taking Sunday nights and consistently doing that, preparing us, Lord, for spiritual warfare. And now, Lord, as we're taking Sunday school hour and we're exposing again what the devil's doing, he doesn't like it. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, to be brave, to be courageous, to be prepared. Lord, it's time for Christians to take the blinders off and understand that there's something very planned, very orchestrated that's going on as the groundwork is being laid, Lord, for the during the end times, for the rapture and the tribulation period and the emergence of the Antichrist. And so, Lord, help us to understand these things. And Lord, help us not to be drawn into these spirits, Lord. And we ask, dear God, that you'd help us and deliver us. And Lord, help us to be a peculiar people. Help us, Lord, to be the exception. Help us, Lord, for us to be a bright light in this dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in the Bible, time and time again, the mention of an unclean spirit. You say, preacher, if I look that up, that little phrase, unclean, unclean spirit, what does it mean? It means impure, morally lewd, or specifically demonic, foul, or unclean. Folks, I think if you're paying attention, you're understanding that there, when it comes to morals, and when it comes to morality, and when it comes to decency, and when it comes to modesty, well, there is very much a new spirit that's overtaking our nation. We just came off of a month where, you know, these the Sodomites and every other perversion that have now linked themselves to the Sodomites have decided that they're going to spend a month being proud about it. And I'm watching corporations. Somebody sent me a thing that the NFL put out as an advertisement in support of this past month. And it starts out by saying football is gay. Then it says football is transgender, football is, and starts bisexual, football is supportive, football is tolerant, football is everything, and football is for everyone. Then they show an NFL shield logo in rainbow colors. Now, folks, this is the National Football League basically saying we are in support of all of these sins. Well, if you're not done with, you know, the NFL, you ought to be done with it now. There comes a point in time. Listen, I like sports as much as anybody else, probably more than a lot of people. But there's certain places I'm not going. I'm not going. And, you know, it's just gotten to the point where every single corporation, every single place out there, nobody will stand up against it. Nobody will say a word against it. And so we're seeing this spirit of uncleanness. Now, I told my wife when I got back, she said, "How was your trip?" I said, "Well, there was great." And but you know, when you're traveling, I've traveled quite a bit in the last 3 weeks, folks. I can kind of hide out in small town America, and we can. We don't understand what kind of a bubble we live in here, and we can kind of exist in small town rural America and convince ourselves that America's still Christian, and America's still this, and America's still got values, and America's still conservative. And certainly somebody must have messed with the numbers, because there can't be that many Americans that really believe what the liberal agenda is. You better get out of Jacksonville. Folks, what I've watched and what I saw in the airports of America coming, traveling in the middle of a pride, I'm telling you, it absolutely, I felt like that every connection I made, the airport must have been in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because you got to understand, folks, now they're being supported. Now it's like, I dare you to say something about it. Now they're out. They're strutting it. I mean, the level of wickedness and some of the things that I just saw, getting off a plane and going from one place to another and connecting to a different flight, I came back so heavy-hearted, because I thought to myself, if this is a cross-section of America, we are in trouble. And it's not just the people that are blatantly displaying it. It's the advertisement. It's the support. It's corporate America. It's they've surrendered. Come on, for the most part, America has embraced a spirit of uncleanness. Now, folks, that's a dangerous thing. Because when God looks down and sees a nation accept a spirit of uncleanness, then it puts us in a really in the crosshairs of God's judgment. And so we're going to take a look at that. What is the spirit of Antichrist? What kind of spirit has to be fostered in order for us to one day accept the Antichrist? Well, there has to be a spirit of uncleanness. And I want to take you, first of all, to Matthew chapter 23, because I want to take a look at this. Anytime you see the word uncleanness in the Bible, I want you to understand what it's talking about. And you know what? Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 23, I want you to notice who Jesus pointed out as the group that was harboring inner uncleanness. Might surprise you. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 27. Matthew 23, verse number 27. Jesus is going off on the Pharisees and the scribes. He's had it with them. Gloves are off. You know, he's starting to really push buttons now. You know why? Because he knows what the plan is. The plan is to go to the cross. And so he's forcing their hand. But notice what he says in verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Now, folks, when you see that word unclean or uncleanness, again, it's talking about moral depravity. It's talking about lewdness. It's talking about perversion. Now, that's going to be the unpleasant subject for the next 15 minutes, okay? But, folks, you know where it had found root when Jesus came the first time? It was amongst the religious leaders. I didn't say the saved leaders. I didn't say born-again leaders. I said religious leaders. Folks, listen to me. I'm telling you. Oh, look, I have one more preacher call me who's taken a church and say, preacher, I need help. I need advice. The previous pastor left a mess. The previous pastor had a very public moral failing. The previous pastor ran off with the secretary. The previous pastor had an affair with three women in the church. The previous pastor, I am so sick of hearing this. We have got to hold our pastors to account. Okay? I don't know if these people are saved, unsaved, but they are killing us. They are killing us. Now, folks, listen to me. Every once in a while I say this, and, you know, about two or three, maybe once or twice a year, I just get up and say, gentlemen, you better look me in the eye. You cross this line at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. How about this one? I'm hearing too much. This pastor had molested a child. This pastor, come on, molested a little boy. I can't even get my brain around it. Now, you cross that line at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if you mess with a child, and we have a lot of children to come to this ministry, and because of that, every once in a while, preacher's got to get up and just shoot a shot over the bow. You got a problem in that area, you better come see me. You got a problem in that area, you better get a hold of it. You mess with a kid around here, I'm not counseling you. I'm not hearing your excuses. I am calling 911 and getting law enforcement, having you arrested. Listen, I may weep as I walk you to the police car, but I'm walking you to the police car. There is no place for that. Amen. And that, of course, is criminal activity. But what we're running into a lot of time is this spirit of lasciviousness and adultery. I mean, men in churches, Sunday school teachers, deacons with problems with pornography. And by the way, ladies, let me tell you this. The fastest growing group right now being involved in pornography is women, not men. So sometimes when we preach on this, everybody thinks it's just a man problem. I didn't say there were more women. than men involved with it. I'm saying the fastest growing group getting involved in it is women. And if this comes into the Church of Jesus Christ, there's some things that we have absolutely we have to walk guard around. Okay, men, I want you to hold me accountable. Men, I will hold you accountable. By the way, if you have a problem with this, and you haven't involved yourself in criminal activity, but you have a problem with this, come to me. Get help. There's a lot of folks, a lot of men that I could introduce you to that at one time got, listen, this thing's worth one of the worst addictions out there. It's worse than cigarettes, worse than booze, it's worse than crack cocaine. Somebody starts getting into that stuff, it's one of the worst addictions. That's why you young men, listen to me, you build strong fences, you build accountability, you be careful with that technology, those phones you're getting. I know we're adults, and I know it's, some of you are going to have phones, but you may think you can walk down. Listen, you think you will control that sin, but one day it will control you. And I just have to blow the trumpet. There's a spirit of uncleanness, yes, in the world, indecency in the world. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm getting to the point where, you know, I got a daughter in California. I'd love to be able to swear off ever flying on an airplane again, but I also want to see my baby and my baby's babies, okay? I don't care that much about AJ, but I'd like to see my kids every once in a while. Just kidding. I say hi to him. I'm tolerably nice to him, but I'm telling you, it'd be easy. Thank God that you live where you do. Thank God for rural America. Thank God there's still a certain, but you know what? I'm sorry. I had to run into the church last night, and then I had to run down to Casey's last night, put some fuel in the car, and you know, the whole Jasonville area is gathering because they're going to have fireworks, you know. And, you know, you used to be able to come to these things, and, you know, it's a family event, whatever. I'm telling you, I just stood there and looked over. This is Jasonville, Indiana. This is small town America. The cross section of humanity has me so discouraged. And I know they need Jesus. I know that. But come on. Come on. I just want to go to some of these little girls and says, has your mama ever had to talk to you about anything? But then you see mama and she's dressed worse than the daughter is. And grandma, someone needs to have a talk with grandma. None of us want to see that. Hello? I mean, it's not used to be the elder women. Come on, the older women would say, hey, come here, sweetie. You ain't leaving the house in that. Now, mama's leading her out the door and mama looks worse than she does. And folks, it's just like, man, a lie. We are being more and more labeled as a cult just because of modesty. I mean, I watched in the airports, I'll tell you a story, but I watched it was either a Mennonite family or Amish. I'm not sure how that all works. Do the Amish fly on airplanes? Few of them do. And I think they were probably Mennonite instead. But there was like four younger couples together, had several children, had everything that comes with having children. They're trying to get through security. God bless them. And you know what they did? As they're sending their trays through, I watched the workers watch them. I watched looks of disgust on their face. I watched them yank every single tray they had off as it went in the scanner and make them go down. I watched them being, patted down in ways nobody else was patted down. And you could tell the disdain amongst the people because these folks just simply didn't look like the world. I have to watch my wife when we're traveling together. And I will watch my wife. I don't care. You ever hear I get arrested at the airport, you'll know why. Cheryl was with me. But there's certain things as men we need to just draw the line on when it comes to our wives. Okay? And I don't care what their policies are. There's still going to be respect and should be respect to ladies. But they will target. I mean, they'll pull a guy like me out of line if I'm dressed like a decent human being and make me go through procedures, and I'll watch scuzz bags. I will watch towel heads. I'll watch people that they probably ought to be checking out, and they won't touch them. But listen, in many, many little subtle ways, folks, there is already a persecution against religious people. And it's so subtle, but it's so obvious if you just sit back and watch it. You know, there was a Jewish family. I don't know if I told you this, but there was a Jewish family that this didn't happen on my last trip, but they were Orthodox Jews. And because of that, they looked like Orthodox Jews. And they were waiting by the front gate to get on the plane. And there was two or three employees of the airport. And, you know, folks, listen to me, they had little children. You try to keep a mask on a 2.5-year-old and a 3-year-old. Can somebody give me an amen there? I mean, if you try to, I mean, they're doing the best they can. And these two workers just kept going over and chewing them out because their kids didn't have a mask on and chewing them out. One was a black woman, one was a white woman, and they're just going over there just picking on them. And I'm looking around, and there's all kinds of, come on, there's black kids running around with no mask, and they don't say boo to them. There's people that aren't religious, and they don't say anything. And they're just, so when it came time for them to get on the plane, they were getting on right before me, and they came over, and they start saying, you do not let this family on until every one of those kids have a mask. I stepped up. Listen, we've got to speak up. And I said, excuse me. Am I watching right before my eyes religious persecution? No, I want to know an answer right now. Is that what I'm watching? Because you need to go get your manager if that's what I'm watching. What about that family? What about that family? What about those? And I'm this louder. You say, well, aren't you? You know, here's the thing. Everybody's so afraid to speak up in the airports because then they'll say, well, you know, you were causing a problem. You can't catch this flight. Well, I'm sorry, but I got enough money to rent a car and drive home if I need to. And there ain't nowhere I need to be that bad. And you know what? We need to get off this spirit of fear. And boy, they backed up and backed off. And I said, let me help you get your kids on. Let me carry some of this stuff. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody else messed with them the whole trip. But folks, listen to me. Nobody's saying anything. And, you know, they don't obviously have rejected Jesus Christ. It's not like we're on the same team. But it's a matter of if there is a religious connotation to anybody, we're going to, you know, I'm sorry, but me and those Amish folks probably don't believe the same. But you know what? What bothered them was here comes somebody that's modest. Here comes somebody that believes in God. Let's just see if we can torment them and make their trip as miserable as possible. It's crazy what's going on right now. Now, the reason I'm pointing that out is we're going to see that more and more. If you're going to stand, listen, if you won't give in to the spirit of uncleanness, come on. You won't dress like a hooch, like a strange woman, like a prostitute. And that is become the standard dress of the American woman. Okay, come on. I was in inner city Chicago during the 70s and 80s. Okay, I know how prostitutes dress. They dress like most of our teenage girls now. And we're just kind of, oh, well, bless her. Oh, you look so cute today. No, you don't. You look like a whore. Hello. I'm just getting warmed up for the message this morning, you know. You're trying to prepare. Tell Brother Tom for the service. I'm trying to prepare a patriotic message. Come on, 4th of July. So let's preach about America. Ah! Oh, we're a mess. And I'm so tired of Christians just walking around smiling like it's all, you know, oh, you know. And anybody that dares say something about it, I'm evil because of what I just said. and you should be offended. No, excuse me. God is being offended. God is being offended. Well, how do you think you make her feel? How do you think she's making God feel? You know, everybody's worried about everybody's feelings instead of righteousness and holiness. And you know what? God is the one who's going to decide where this country ends up. It's about time we just kind of come on, open the Word of God and let it slap us real hard in the face. We're going to talk about this spirit of uncleanness. I started where Jesus started. He called out the religious leaders. Folks, listen to me. We're going to get down to it. I don't have time now. But the Bible says these sins should not be once named amongst Christians. We have, first of all, got to clean up our act. Clean up our act. Good night. Come on, guys. Come on, ladies. We got to clean up our act. Okay, when the percentages of divorce outside the church and inside the church are the same, we've got a problem. Okay, no wonder the world doesn't take us seriously. In this area of uncleanness, we've got to identify an unclean spirit and figure out how to get on the victory side of that. I'm not saying that you're not going to struggle with some of it. I'm telling you, the Bible has an answer for it. So we're going to give you some help. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, dear God. Our hearts, righteous Lot, and Lot was a mess. But the Bible says righteous Lot, his heart was vexed daily because of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, I feel that. I feel that coming off this trip. It's just like, Lord, how are we going to turn this thing? Especially when so many people that would sit there and look me in the eye and swear that they're born again Christians are not only participating in it, but are verbally defending some of the wickedness that's going on. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Help us to be a peculiar people. Help us to be a righteous people. Lord, help us, dear God, to be a holy people, to live differently. Lord, help us to still voice it and still preach it and still call people out on it. Lord, help us to be different. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.